edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here, as always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into episode 2 of this week of shows, going 3 to 4 episodes in the month of June, but of course, normally throughout the year, I would say 11 months of the year, we do go 4 to 6 episodes a week. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it. Me, Gino, Lars, we are available on all platforms as well as LockedOnEagles.com. I know I'm a big desktop podcast listener. I work at a radio station, and while I'm doing my work, writing my articles, I like to have a podcast on the computer. So, you know, you can play Stitcher online on the computer, and a lot of those podcasting platforms have that feature now. But if you're someone that likes to you like to look at some pictures of the players that we're discussing, if you're more of a visual listener, if that makes any sense, or if, you know, visuals help you listen, maybe that's a better way to describe it. LockedOnEagles.com has every podcast available. And then we're always talking birds on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE and at Gino_LOE. So there are my shameless plugs for the episode coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. As you guys heard the last two podcasts, we did an all-time Eagles draft. Myself, Gino, Lars, and our good friend Jordan Hanskin. We did basically a fantasy football draft, and the players available were Eagles from any era. Lars, if you guys listened, I'll just tease one combination that Lars had that I really liked. He drafted Randall Cunningham at quarterback, DeSean Jackson at wide receiver, and LeSean McCoy at running back. So that's a really fun trio that's never happened in Eagles history, and we combined all these different eras, and we tried to put together four loaded Eagles rosters. And now what we're going to do, it's not going to be available on the podcast, it's more of a visual. It'll be available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com, Locked On Eagles is the name of the channel. We're going to put these rosters now into Madden, and us four, we're going to watch the simulations. I think we're going to live stream it. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do this production. We might record the games and our reactions and then post like a highlight clip on YouTube and tweet those out, or we might do them live where you guys can watch as well. We're kind of we're feeling out what we're going to do. Our good buddy Caesar, shout out to you, Caesar Garcia, who listens to the podcast all the time, he wants us to go live, so we're kind of leaning towards that, but just be on the lookout for that. Again, it's not going to be on the podcast. It's going to be some extra side content, but it's going to be a lot of fun because we're going to put those teams now that we created. We're going to put it to the test. We're going to put them on the football field. We're not going to play, but we're going to watch these simulations in Madden. So cannot wait for that. That was a ton of fun the last two episodes. They were both an hour long, so it's a nice commitment. Let's say you're taking a nice road trip. You can dial that one up at any time, really, this summer. It's a very timely podcast. So, again, a ton of fun with the three guys doing that. And I don't know, seeing Lars take Cunningham and DeSean Jackson, I don't want to spoil the rest of the rosters. We will post those rosters on LockedOnEagles.com as well as our Twitter pages at the end of the week, but I wanted to give that some time to breathe and allow you guys to listen to that entire draft. So I'm not going to give out exactly what the rosters look like right now, but you know, all of us kind of combined a bunch of different eras, you know, quarterbacks, you could say, from right now or in the 2000s, mixed with wide receivers from the 60s or 70s, right? Or, like, you know, again, with Lars Cunningham and DeSean Jackson's a combination that, you know, no one ever thought of because they're just different players in different eras of Eagles football. But you always go back, and I remember before Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson were together, I remember when Wentz first came into the league and he had to deal with Doriel Green Beckham and Josh Huff and, you know, number 17, Nelson Agholor. And even in 2017, yeah, he had Nelson Agholor and Torrey Smith, but I always thought seeing DeSean Jackson tear up the Eagles defense with Washington, with Tampa Bay, I used to think with what Wentz's strengths are, Wentz is a quarterback that I think thrives with a player like DeSean Jackson, you know, a speed guy, someone he can throw to a window, throw open with anticipation, run after the catchability. That to me is what Wentz likes. You know, an explosive player. I used to dream all the time, like, man, we saw Michael Vick with DeSean Jackson. We saw Donovan McNabb. We even saw Nick Foles. I would kill to get Carson Wentz back in time with prime DeSean Jackson. And now it's cool that that combination actually happened. But there's some combos in Eagles history that just, you know, that can never happen. So I thought today that'll be a fun episode, actually, right after this all-time Eagles draft, is quarterback and wide receiver, tight end, running back, you know, quarterback to passing target connections throughout Eagles history that we'd love to see now. If every Eagles player, again, like this draft was, if every player in Eagles history was available, what are some quarterback and weapon combinations that we would love to see on the football field when both players were in their prime? So I'm going to do that today on this edition of Locked On Eagles because, yeah, we've seen some incredible connections. You know, Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens just for that 1 year in 2004. Michael Vick and DeSean Jackson was one of the most explosive combos, I think, in NFL history, not just in Eagles history. You know, you've got the incredible chemistry of Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz over the last 4 years. Nick Foles and basically everybody. I mean, that guy played with DeSean Jackson, Zach Ertz, Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar. He really played in a bunch of different eras of Eagles football. So we've seen some really good ones throughout history, but there are some combos just fitting the skill sets of those players that are really fun to think about. If it was possible to put these two players together, what that would be like in Kelly Green or Midnight Green. So we're going to get into that coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. But guys, before we get into it, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor of today's podcast, and that's Built Bar. If you're sick of the protein bars that basically taste like tree bark with chocolate on it, and I feel like that's a lot of the protein bars, I grew up not a big fan of protein bars at all. Built Bar is the company for you. They are the perfect protein bar for a guy like me who, again, grew up not really loving them that much because, again, so many protein bars, you don't really feel like you're eating something that's, you know, snack worthy, that actually, you know, sits well with your taste buds. And that's the opposite of Built Bar. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 20 awesome flavors. Right now, I was originally on the orange cream vanilla flavor. That was kind of my main, also peanut butter cup. Big peanut butter guy, but the banana bread one, it's just another level. There's so many creative different flavors that other, you know, protein bars, Nutri-Grain bars, granola bars, they don't even think of, and Built Bar has them. 20 awesome flavors, 20 grams of protein, so it's a healthy alternative snack to whatever you're going to go with, a Hershey's bar or Reese's cups. Built Bar is the product for you. They also have what I'm really digging on right now are these Built Boost energy drink mixes that you put in your water, and it's natural energy. You'll really notice the difference after drinking it for an entire week. Just give it a try. It tastes basically like Simply Lemonade in your water. Black cherry lemonade is my favorite flavor. So some awesome products by Built Bar. And if you head over to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get $10 off your first order. So again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Louis DiBiase here of Locked On Eagles. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, segment two of this edition of the show. We're getting into Eagles combinations, quarterback and a passing target, a receiver, a tight end, or a running back that never happened in Eagles history just based on when they played in different eras. But, you know, if we could find a way to put both players in their prime right now in the modern day NFL, what connections would we love to see? And this is, again, inspired by this all-time Eagles draft we did on the podcast the last two episodes and seeing, you know, Lars put together a 90s quarterback that had so much talent with, you know, two of the most explosive weapons the Eagles have ever had. So that inspired me today to think of some combos that I'd love to see of past Eagles quarterbacks and or weapons and current ones. Let's do that right now. One quarterback to receiver connection that I'd love to see is Carson Wentz and Terrell Owens. Now, I'm not sure if T.O., you know, because we know T.O., Donovan McNabb, they had their annoying beef, and, you know, both I think were at fault extremely, but T.O. was a lot to handle if he didn't get the ball, if he was open, right? But he was the second or third read, and he didn't get the ball. He was going to come back, and he was going to let you know about it. Donovan McNabb would tell him to shut the F up. I wonder what Carson Wentz would do if T.O., you know, came back into the huddle complaining. Right now, what Wentz has to deal with is the opposite. A receiver, I think it's Alshon Jeffrey, that goes behind his back and talks about him through the media, which is just another level of petty. But I do wonder how Wentz would handle that, like, forward, straightforward. And maybe I think T.O. actually, you know, what I'll defend him, although he was a lot to handle, he was annoying, he was a head case, at least he said it to McNabb's face. That's my problem with what Wentz has to go through the last 2 years is whoever this player is does not have the gall to step up in the locker room and say that he has an issue. So I think that's even harder to deal with because he doesn't even know who this player is. But I do wonder, again, off the field wise, how Wentz would handle that, because he's just so wired in the opposite direction. He's not confrontational. I don't think he would have handled it the way McNabb did. So, but when we're talking about just an on-field standpoint, Carson Wentz has never had that kind of receiver in Terrell Owens. Like, he's had some good ones. You know, it started off pretty bad. It was bad in 2019 with all the injuries, right? He had to throw to Greg Ward, Deontay Burnett, Robert Davis, a really bad and banged up J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as a rookie. So he's never had the best weapons. He's had some good ones. He has a Hall of Fame tight end in Zach Ertz. He's got another top-tier tight end in Dallas Goedert. Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor were really good for a two-year stretch with Wentz. And even DeSean Jackson last year for a game. Like, that's the most dynamic target Wentz has ever had. But he's never had a Hall of Fame caliber. I mean, Terrell Owens, to me, is a top-five receiver of all time. And Wentz, with that kind of player that has the size, has the speed, the route running, the hands, I mean, the run after the catch ability. Terrell Owens, again, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a GOAT-level player at his position. For Wentz to have that kind of guy at his disposal, I mean, we saw what it did for... It's very similar. I think it would be the same way it was in the early 2000s. Like, Donovan McNabb was a good enough quarterback to bring the Eagles to NFC title games with Todd Pinkston as his receiver, with James Thrash, with Freddie Mitchell, right? He doesn't need a top-tier receiver to be great, and I think we saw last year, it was proven, that Carson Wentz doesn't either. But then, when they did give McNabb Terrell Owens in 2004, that offense took an even bigger step. They ended up making the Super Bowl, finally getting over the hump, and they nearly won it against the New England Patriots. So it just took McNabb to another level. And I think if again, Wentz doesn't need that to be an elite quarterback that he is right now in the NFL, but if you gave him that player, I mean, holy cow, now we're talking about a guy that he could have a Patrick Mahomes-like season where the dude's throwing 50 touchdowns. I mean, I think Wentz and T.O. on the field would click really well. I do wonder, though, maybe the connection wouldn't be perfect because Wentz isn't somebody that likes to force feed the football. He's a very rhythm-centric thrower. He likes to go through his progressions. He's going to throw to the open man. And sometimes he doesn't hold on to the ball long enough. Sometimes he does and tries to create plays and scrambles and holds on to get his guys open, which would benefit T.O. But there's other times where he's a technician, where he's getting the ball out in 2-3 seconds. And, you know, sometimes T.O. might not be that first read. And I do wonder how that would have worked. But, I mean, just again, when we're talking about a connection on the field, it would have been incredible to see. Carson Wentz has never had that type of player. I'm hoping Jalen Reagor becomes that first complete wide receiver he has that can do everything. But we'll see. Wentz, T.O., I think that'd be a fun combo on the field. Another one here is the one that I talked about in segment one that Lars had the pleasure of combining and creating, and it's Randall Cunningham and DeSean Jackson. We saw what DeSean Jackson can do with anybody down the field, with Michael Vick, of course, McNabb, Nick Foles, heck, even Kevin Cobb. This dude could perform as, to me, the best deep threat in NFL history. But you saw just again what other level he was on when he had a strong-armed, mobile gunslinger in Michael Vick. I mean, in 2010, DeSean Jackson averaged over 22 yards a reception with Michael Vick. I mean, that chemistry, again, that's one of the best combos, I think, in NFL history from just an explosive, dynamic perspective. Randall Cunningham is very similar in that way to Michael Vick, where he loved to take shots down the field. This dude had such a natural cannon where it felt like on his knees, he could chuck the ball 70 yards down the field. I mean, just look at that 90-plus yard touchdown he had to Fred Barnett in Buffalo in the 90s, where he ducks under Bruce Smith, of all people, you know, stretches the play out, keeps it going, gives Fred Barnett more time to get down the field, and he chucks that ball, again, like it felt like 70 yards. I mean, the natural arm strength is incredible. And if he had DeSean Jackson on the other end, to me, again, the best deep threat of all time. I mean, Cunningham didn't have that deep threat until I would say he was older, and he had, to me, his best season, or maybe second best outside of 1990. When he, in the late 90s, when he was in Minnesota, and he had Chris Carter, a Hall of Fame level Chris Carter, not the Chris Carter he had in Philly, but also Randy Moss, who people, when they're debating the best deep threats of all time, DeSean Jackson comes up. Jerry Rice comes up, but Randy Moss is right there as a top three player in that category. Cunningham did have Randy Moss when they made it to the NFC title game in 1998, but just imagine throughout Cunningham's prime in Philly, if he had that type of player, if he had a DeSean Jackson. It's a awesome combo to think of, a dynamic, explosive one, very similar to Vic and D-Jax, and Lars is going to have that. He's going to put that to the test in our Madden simulation, so I'm really excited to see how that combo does. I think it's going to be one that clicks right off the bat. All right, one more here before we take a break, and I got a couple more in segment three. I would have loved to see Nick Foles and Harold Carmichael. Nick Foles had such a pretty deep ball, the touch. You know, he was the type of player that, very basketball centric, you know what I mean, where he's like a point guard where he can lob it down low and just let his big target, or you know, power forward center, just go up and get it and then make a play on the ball. And that's why I think Nick Foles worked so well with Alshon Jeffrey in 2017 and in 2018, because he just threw the perfect ball for a bigger type target to go high point it. And I think Foles with Harold Carmichael, I mean, Carmichael, don't get me wrong, he was a complete receiver. I mean, this is the all-time leading receiver in Eagles history. This is a Hall of Famer in August. But one of the main traits that we loved about Carmichael was that the dude was 6'8". So Nick Foles and Carmichael would have been a ton of fun, because Foles loved to take shots. He was a style of player that loved to take chances. Even if there was an open guy, I would say like 10 yards down the field, if he could give, you know, Alshon a one-on-one chance, you know, with no safety over top, and maybe he's not technically open, the corner's all over him, Nick Foles was going to give that guy a chance. We saw that in the Super Bowl with that first touchdown to Jeffrey. I think him and Carmichael would have been a really fun combo. So those are three combinations in Eagles history that I'd love to put together when it comes to a quarterback and a weapon on offense. Carson Wentz and Terrell Owens, Randall Cunningham and DeSean Jackson, and then Nick Foles and Harold Carmichael. I got two more when I come back, wrapping up this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, just want to say this real quick. The Lockdown Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Lockdown is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockdownpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Again, that's lockdownpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. All right, Eagles fans, Louis DiBiase back here for segment three of this Wednesday edition of the show, a fun one. I'm really enjoying this one. Again, I love the analytical episodes. I love getting into, you know, how the Eagles offense is going to be different from a schematic standpoint, and that's coming up later this week, that episode. So there's a little teaser. I love talking about who's going to be wide receiver three, what role players are overlooked that are going to have bigger roles to the success of the Eagles in 2020. I love getting to that, getting into the X's and O's, getting into prospect evaluation, but I'm a sucker for these fun kind of episodes where, you know, we're just getting creative and we're talking about, you know, different stuff. And I think, you know, the all-time Eagles draft inspired me to do some more episodes like this, where we're combining quarterbacks and weapons of the Eagles past and present that we'd love to see, right? That we never did see. But if you could put together two prime Eagles on offense and watch them work, who would you want to watch? And to me, a couple combos that came to mind was Carson Wentz and Terrell Owens, Randall Cunningham and DeSean Jackson, Nick Foles and Harold Carmichael. I've got two more here involving Wentz and McNabb. I want to see Wentz and Jeremy Maclin. I think those two would have incredible chemistry, because Maclin, like Jackson, he ran a, what, 4.31 coming out of Missouri? I mean, this was an explosive player down the field. I mean, he was the Eagles' best deep threat in 2014 with Nick Foles. You saw the Foles-Maclin combination. I mean, it was incredible. Maclin just didn't get enough credit for that, because on the opposite side of him, again, they had the GOAT when it comes to deep balls in DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson, to me, again, is the best of all time, and I think he should be in Canton because of it. So Maclin kind of went under the radar with that, and also because he was surrounded on offense with so many explosive weapons. I mean, to me, a Hall of Fame running back in LeSean McCoy, the all-time leading rusher in Eagles history, and Michael Vick, the most dynamic quarterback maybe of all time, outside of, I mean, you got Lamar Jackson now, but I think Michael Vick was the most explosive quarterback in NFL history when he was playing football. But Macklin, in his own right, was explosive, and he was consistent in every other level. I mean, he was great with run after the catch in the screen game, really efficient in that way. Also, no one utilized the sidelines better than Macklin. No one had such good body control that could come down with these incredible catches, toe taps. I mean, I remember in 2009, late in the game against the Denver Broncos, it was the game that Brian Dawkins came back, and McNabb had hit Macklin to move the chains along the sidelines, and a rookie Macklin just makes this incredible catch, and he did that over and over again in 2014 as well. If you guys remember that one-handed grab along the sidelines against San Francisco, Macklin was a complete do-it-all wide receiver that was a great route runner. He was such a balanced target, and I think, you know, he was, again, so good in route running that Wentz would hit him in anticipation all the time. I think that chemistry would have worked really stinking well. I mean, Wentz Macklin would be a really fun combination to pair up. I just think that's the type of receiver that Wentz works well with, and I think everybody works well with a Jeremy Macklin. You know, Nick Foles did, Mark Sanchez did, Kevin Cobb did, McNabb did, Michael Vick. So Macklin, you know, again, a do-it-all player that's top 10 in Eagles history in receptions and yards, and he had multiple 10 plus touchdown seasons. He only, I don't think he never had under 700 yards receiving in a season. And after his rookie year, he always had over 800. So this was a consistent threat that I think would be perfect with Wentz. All right, one more, and it almost happened actually. This is one that almost happened. The other ones weren't going to because they couldn't. But Wentz and Macklin could have happened in 2017. Remember, Macklin was deciding between the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, who he eventually chose, and the Philadelphia Eagles to come back. So Wentz almost had Macklin the year that he should have won MVP. All right, one more combo that I want to see, and this is just for McNabb, because outside of 2004 with T.O., he never had that guy that was just open 24-7, just that reliable target that, yeah, he wasn't the most dynamic. He wasn't going to take a 6-yard reception and turn it into a 30-yard reception. But if McNabb had a reliable target like Zach Ertz throughout his career, I mean, he had some good tight ends. L.J. Smith, you know, he had Chad Lewis. Brent Celek was really good as a receiving tight end. People forget that, but, you know, in 2008 and 2009, when McNabb had Celek, I mean, that was a good pass-catching tight end. But imagine if McNabb had the modern-day Zach Ertz, the elite route runner that he is. Again, I think Ertz, when it's all said and done, he's going to be the all-time leading receiver in Eagles history, and I think he's going to be up for, you know, consideration for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. McNabb, again, he didn't have that guy that every single play he could rely on to catch the football. I think maybe the best example of that for Donovan was Brian Westbrook as a running back. So just for McNabb's sake, to have this one target that he could rely on all the time to move the chains, Zach Ertz, if I could put together McNabb and Ertz, I think that'd be a fun combination and just a very calming one for number 5. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. If you guys have any combos that you're thinking of, you know, because there's a ton of them you could have throughout Eagles history, hit me up on Twitter at DBIASILOE. I'd love to hear from you. We'll be back tomorrow on the podcast. Gino should be back. Again, thank you so much for tuning into today's edition. If you missed any of the past ones, including our all-time Eagles draft, the last 2 episodes, subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. And if you guys could, you guys have been leaving some really thoughtful, awesome reviews. If you could rate us, hopefully 5 stars, and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing on wherever you listen to your podcast, it's really going to help us. It's how we grow the show, and we can continue to churn out, you know, so many different episodes each week. Louis DiBiase here joining you as always. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.